Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June. How you do?
I do okay. I feel there's a frantic energy to this morning.
Yeah.
You know, I feel an intensity coming off of you and an intensity coming off of me. So it's, you know, it's a lot. Like, I don't know what's going to happen on today's episode.
I don't either. I had a lot of energy, frantic energy at 7 a.m. and I seem to have burned out. So it's only 9 and I feel like I might be tapped out for the day.
Wow. That's always a crazy feeling. Well, I'm done at 4. Like 4 is my, like when Oprah's on, like that was always my, the day is done.
Right.
When I was growing up.
That's so 4, bagel time.
I can only get to, that's bagel time. That's when I start my bagels. I have to warn you. So I am coming in with an intense energy.
Yeah. Tell me why.
And well, I mainly because I'm premenstrual. I'm 2 days away from getting my period.
Okay, good. The warning,
right? You know, the warning. I got
this is when you would be sent away to a tent, the red tent. That's a book. My mother has literally recommended to me 8,000 times. She's like, "Have you ever read The Red Tent?" And I'm like,
it's so funny.
What is that about menstruation? Is that
God knows? It sounds like it, but there's certain movies and books that sometimes people like drill down on so much that I remember my best friend Julie's mom was French, Mickey Levy, and she used to always tell us with a very French accent if she would find us like idle at any point, she'd be like, "Julie, watch Mumford." What's a Mumford? Like, there's a movie called Mumford. Do you remember this?
No.
And she was always telling us to watch Mumford.
Oh, man.
And, like, I will never watch it because I'll always want to, and I'll never read The Red Tent.
I won't
You know,
either.
It's just something you'll always hear about and you'll never
I'll never read The Devil in the White City. I'll never read.
I'll see it everywhere. That book will follow me everywhere.
I won't read it. I won't read most books. I just will never. I think Matt Walsh, I think Matt Walsh, Morgan's husband, as he will be known from now on, I think he recommended that to me once. And I was like, what? No, don't do that to me. Don't heap that on me.
Don't you dare.
Now, we have a really special guest today, a professional organizer who you may remember corralled all my dildos, Jordan Santaro. But he, in preparation for our interview with him, I went crazy and organized my entire house for 9 hours yesterday.
Wow.
Top to bottom. I started in the garage and I ended in the darkest recesses of BB's closet. I threw out 14 Barbie dolls in various stages of haircuts. I found, and this is crazy, 6 copies of Anne of Green Gables.
The same one, like just Anne of Green Gables, like Anne of Avonlea, Anne of Windy Poplars, or whatever those other ones
were. 6 times.
Wow. Well, but you know what? There are some beautiful hardcover Anne of Green Gables.
I think
I actually have 3.
That because people have gifted 2 of those to me. But I am like, and those I couldn't part with. I'll have to gift. Who do you gift? I don't know any 11-year-old girls right now. And certainly they're like, is this a graphic novel? I don't want it. Like, so I don't know. But that was a while.
Let me think about that for a second.
I do have 6 copies. I should auction them off.
And I do think it's a wonderful book for boys to read. Like, I want to think about that for a second, because I think I told you I watched Anne of Green Gables when I was in Canada with the boys. I showed
you
it.
Did?
To them.
Did they like it? Did.
They loved it.
They wow. Loved it.
There was specifically a scene. I mean, I think we've talked about this before, Jess.
This is an Anne of Green Gables fan cast.
I know, but it's just like, are we telling the same story? So
possibly. This is Grey Gardens.
Really worrisome. But so there's that scene where she walks on the, she's dared to walk on the school rooftop.
We haven't talked about this. The ridge
we
trail.
Haven't?
Well, yes, maybe so, we did. She's, maybe we she's did. Dared by Josie
she's
Pye
dared,
to walk on the ridge.
And
the
Gilbert
Blythe
is watching, and she falls.
Wow.
Do you remember that? She falls into the bush.
Of course I do. It's a huge. It's I mean, she huge. Should have died. She should have absolutely been paralyzed for the rest of her life. That is an insane fall.
Okay, but. Okay, so the kids laughed. Gus and Sam laughed their fucking asses off. And
I didn't realize that was a comedy scene.
Me neither. And I had to rewind it over and over again. And then, like, the next day, they're like, can you take us back to the... Now, because I was in Canada, I had access to certain Canadian streaming services. Because, you know, it's impossible to get Anne of Green Gables out here.
Tell me, I did not part with my DVDs, which I then found as well, my DVDs.
Oh, wonderful.
But I don't have a DVD player.
Can we play
player.
A DVD? Yeah.
No.
Okay, but I just want to talk to you about something. And I want to hear about your organization. But so in right after that scene happens, mm-hmm. Do you remember the teacher's name?
Oh, the one who is having sex with the student that looked like a fish. Oh no, is it the nice one, Miss Stacy?
No. The man who
the
was
man.
Like the headmaster.
He was literally sleeping with his student who was, I believe, all of 15 or 16.
Okay, so I really do need to talk about
Andrews. I don't know. He looked like a fish.
How do you have her name, Prissy?
Prissy
her
Andrews.
Name was Prissy. Okay. So right after Anne, or right before Anne falls off of the roof, there's this scene where he announces that he's leaving to teach at Queen's College.
Yeah.
And Prissy's crying in the background.
Yes, because they were doing it to each other, and that's why he was dismissed.
1,000%. It's like how the priests get moved around from
parish
to parish.
Yeah, he was dismissed. But also, that's like when we watched it, it was like, all right, well.
Oh my God. I watched it and was just like, yeah, okay.
That's, my mom that's a- said she had various friends who left college to go marry a professor's at her girls' college.
Wow.
It was like a very done thing. You know, no
wow.
bigs. You know? No
so
bigs.
I was watching that with new eyes with my children. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? And Prissy Andrews, by the way, if that be her name.
I don't know if that's her name or if that's her friend.
I don't know. Is so stunning and looks so ethereal. And angelic, and I'm looking at this fucking guy.
He's
this
a fish man.
Pedophile.
He's a pedophile. And they got rid of him, but to their and he's very, very mean to Anne. I probably will have to bribe Bibi to watch it, because something that happens with girls earlier on than you think is they need to differentiate from you. So because I love it, she may not want to watch it. She may say, I don't know. Like, but that's, I have to let her differentiate herself from me, but I probably could bribe her into it. She's watching obsessively Bob's Burgers, which is a phenomenal show. And I'm going to actually write to those guys because, obsessed. It's her comfort watch. Which
I love that.
Yeah, it's a great, great show, but it's interesting why, I don't know. Listen, it's great comedy school for her. I love that.
I love that
for her. And she just started reading the graphic novel version of The Babysitter's Club. And when she asked me last night, who's your favorite? And I said, Claudia Kishi.
Yeah.
And she said, me too. She's the artist, if you remember. I was like,
of course I remember.
And she can't get enough of The Babysitter's Club. If you remember how comforting The Babysitter's Club was.
I mean, I am, whether you choose to believe it or not, like a part of The Babysitter's Club.
You're Stacy.
You know.
You're the one that moved from New York, or you're the one who runs it? I forget.
Yes, I which would to be Claudia.
I'm you're Christy. Not Christy runs it. Yes.
Yeah, I'm Christy.
Christy runs it. That's right. I'm Stacy.
Nah. I think you are. No, I think you are. I think you are. I'm now. Stacy was a diabetic.
Was from Big City. Oh, she was. What are we doing? What is this podcast?
I just Stacy was a diabetic, and have you seen the Netflix version?
No. But oh, it's a little so too. Good. It's a little it's a, too much old for BB.
Interesting. Gus watched the whole first season, but I think a lot flew over his head.
Right. Yeah. We tried a bit, and I was
so
like, "Oh no,
good.
It's so good." Okay. Okay.
It
I gotta watch
so
it.
So good. So, and it's a beautiful, like, updated version.
Okay. But
just to go back to the Babysitter's Club for a second, like, I am haunted for the rest of my days by the relationship between Marianne and her father.
What was that? I don't remember.
Oh, you don't.
What happened?
So, Marianne's mom had passed away.
Oh, wow.
And her dad was a single dad.
I didn't remember this.
And was incredibly strict with her.
Oh, no. Yeah, she was the nerdy one, right?
She's the one they have to push out of her shell.
And
I believe was the one who really liked Logan.
Okay, okay.
Is that feeling right?
Yeah, this all feels right. But you know what? My fear of darkness at that point probably pushed Marianne's circumstances out of my mind.
So, well, I was, upset because all I did as a child was, like, basically play act my parents' death and my orphanage.
Right.
That was, like, I was really kind of very intrigued by it and also, like, constantly needed to perform it. So I felt very connected to Marianne.
Really,
I loved Marianne. Of course, I wanted to be Claudia, but, like, I knew I was Christy. It was all very complicated, but, yeah.
It's like the first version of Sex in the City, really.
Absolutely.
Because she's Charlotte without the, Charlotte didn't have so much tragedy.
And but, also, yeah. Like, Marianne's father, I weirdly also connected to because I think he was doing the best he could.
Right.
And I think that he needed to kind of control her because life was out of control.
In an uncontrollable world. That's right.
Yeah. I don't think he was a bad man,
No, of course. He's doing his best he can. The book I remember loving the most is when they went on a cruise. Do you remember when they got to babysit on a cruise that with another family? I loved the idea of going away at that age with another family and just like being, they were like au pairs at a cruise. It was great.
Oh, my God. Oh, I am remembering this, Jess. What I wanted so badly, because I believe they moved their headquarters for their weekly meetings I'm sure there's so many fans who are going to like take it. I see the message boards lighting up right now.
A treehouse?
No, I think they moved it to Stacy's bedroom.
Yes, of course.
I have this
image. I thought that's where it was originally.
Well, I can't quite, because Stacy was the new character that came in.
Yeah, she came from New York, from the big city.
But do you remember they had that clear phone?
Yes.
Like the phone where you could kind of like see
Yes,
through.
Like Jen Nepo had. Yep.
Oh my God. And the idea of opening up that calendar and Christy opening up that calendar to see like who could take care of the
That's
kids.
Why you love the calendar. That was the first
oh my God,
Google
a thousand
Cal.
1,000%. 1,000%.
That was the bit. Yes, that was okay. Her opening up the calendar.
So, Jess, I don't know if I've revealed this on the podcast, but when I was in second grade, I had one of those flip desks and I made myself a calendar and I taped it to the other side of the desk so I could flip it up and look at it. And at the beginning of the week, I would pencil in who I was going to play with at lunchtime.
Wow.
And girls essentially had to like line up to get on the couch.
Whoa. That's a crazy detail.
I completely blocked that out. So, and I think I was inspired so much by Christy and her level of like organization, And I look back on it and I'm like, I really stepped into some fucking queen energy at 6 and 7 years old.
You sure did.
I was like, listen, I know you all want to play with me. And I get that.
But you really need one-on-one.
I need one-on-one time. And like, the otherwise the people, like the mass is going to get too, you know, thirsty for me. So I'm going to make this equitable for everyone. And make sure that you all have a chance. And I would rotate people and I would make sure, like, sometimes I don't want to play with this person, but you know what? They need a spot on the cow.
Oh my God. This is insane. And there I was like, whoever wants me can have me. Whoever does.
Oh my God. The idea of flipping up that desk and penciling people into those little boxes I had made.
That is truly bizarre.
Really, really wild.
Talk
stuff,
about controlling, you know, an uncontrollable world.
Yep,
you know, that's how
we are.
You controlled the jungle.
Yes.
Welcome
yes.
to the jungle.
And I was
you were like,
also
I'll
like,
control.
I have to be a benevolent leader, you know? I have to.
You're a leader of women. I told you that's who you are. You're a leader of women.
Oh my God. And it was just so great to open up the cal every day and see, like, okay, who's.
God, I wish we had a picture of that. These are the things, like, I wish we held on to these things.
Anyway, so you had 6 Anne of Green Gables books.
Yeah, and I, okay, so here, I just want you.
Cody just had a great idea, by the way, that we should do a giveaway or some sort of, for some
great.
Of those books to deep divers.
That's
that would
wonderful.
Be a really fun
Let's
contest.
Auction them off.
Okay, we'll
Let's
work on that off. For social media this week.
I like
That's
that
very
idea.
Special, signed copies.
That's a wonderful idea. So I'm sitting currently in a home that is perfectly organized. Every Mm-mm-mm. inch of it. Every inch of it. And
wow,
I feel happier than I've ever felt.
So I'll tell you, when you sat down and you went cam on, I felt a new energy. I felt like this was a new person, much like Meatball post-surgery. I was like,
that's who
this?
I feel like. Like, this, is a dog who's lost 100 pounds. Like, I felt 100 pounds lighter.
Well, you are. Yeah.
And I, you know, and listen, I used all of Jordan's techniques. He was texting me, you know, and I was asking him, where should these things go? And so he was doing it remotely, and I really appreciated that. But like, what put this in motion is Lindsay Sloan, friend of the pod who's been on, she said, I'd like to come over and meet your puppy. And, you know, my house is usually not drop-by ready. It's just not. So, and Lindsay is one of those girls that I want her to think I'm pretty. Mm-hmm. I want her to be proud of me aesthetically. Mm-hmm. Okay. She's always so beautiful. And I want her to like what I'm offering her.
Yeah. What a funny thing to want your friends to be proud of the way you look.
Yeah. And that extended to my home this time. And I thought, I'm going to give it 4 hours and I'm going to light some candles. And I'm going to really try to make this like a beachy, like cottage. Like, yeah, it's a townhouse and it doesn't have a backyard, but like, that doesn't mean it can't be Nancy Myers ready. I have all the accoutrements. And so I did that and she came over and the first thing out of her mouth was, God, I missed being in this house. It's just so cozy and delicious. And I was like, oh my God, I could have a house that I'm proud of. And that brings me to my other point, which is it's not better over there. So I have been.
Whoa, Jess, you're really.
I'm in a pocket.
You just said, yeah, you're right. You're aligned right now. This is what happens when a woman and a mission and work and everything like really just aligns. You are fucking aligned right now.
I'm crystal light.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a condensed powder right now.
I have to go back to what you just said. I can have a house that I'm proud of. Because you know where I go, if I see a messy room, I'm like, I'm right on Redfin. I'm ready to move out.
That's the thing. Is like, I really thought that I needed to move. And it's not the time to move right now. I have some things up in the air. And the market is insane. And there isn't a place. I've literally spent hours, and I will still keep looking because my dream cottage is out there and I'm going to make a vision board and all of that. But it isn't the time right now. And why am I putting off enjoying the beautiful space?
Your beautiful home.
I'm having some other treasured friends over on Saturday morning, and then I'm going to have you girls over. And I'm excited.
I'm so thrilled.
My house is a kennel in many ways. For sure, there's a kennel. And am I putting diapers on Emma? We're going to diapers. We're going to diapers.
Oh, man.
I decided this morning, a beautiful, wonderful trainer came over and said, you got to go to diapers because this dog does not want to be doing this everywhere. And you cannot be following this dog around while you're potty training another dog. Like, it's not going to work. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I don't think unless she hates it, of course, then I'll just keep following her around.
And I just ask, only because I will say, like, because I do believe that I can also have a house that I'm proud of. And there are many, many times I do feel really proud of our home. Mm-hmm. I also really struggle in similar ways to you.
Yes.
Like, do I have a home that's drop-by ready? All of those things. I really relate. I relate, Jess. But one of the things about having a dog is like we got a beautiful runner in our kitchen. And right now it's outside and I'm hoping and fucking praying that the California sun we'll air this thing out, or we have to throw it out because it's been pissed on so many times.
I have no rugs upstairs. There's one room in our house where there are some beautiful, beautiful rugs rolled up, and they won't be put down again until things change.
That's hard. So
that's hard.
It's interesting that you're having this moment now with a new puppy because that's like our couch in our TV room. You know, Meatball has pretty much destroyed.
That was a beautiful couch. I remember when it was
new. And I'm like, I think we either have to, and then Paul was like, I think we need to get like outdoor fabric.
You do. You need to get sunbrella. You need to get a sunbrella fabric.
Like, this is our cozy, it just feels, and you know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
That's right.
Of course. It's just, I guess I am curious, can you have a house that you can be proud of with a dog?
I know. And well, part of it is going like, okay, some things I can control, some things I can't, but I can do, it's self-care, right? I don't spend the time to clear off the surfaces. Like what I decided was, now, of course, Dan's been away for 10 days. Like the mess that I make is my own, as opposed to somebody left shit all over here. I'm not doing it. And then like, it just, you know, piles up. Okay. But so let's see what happens when he comes home. He hates systems, so I don't know. But I've cleared off all the surfaces. I don't
want,
and
so
it
great.
Just, I'm looking around. I feel better. I feel in control. I feel peaceful. I don't feel that nagging feeling of, oh my God, I need to be doing that. Like, where do we as parents and working parents get to sit down at the end of the day and feel like the work is done?
Jess, I hear this. And I'm inspired. And when you say clear surfaces, like I know what that does for my mental health. It's vital. And we've said it before. It's like we need this. You know,
that means every day we need to think about, just like working out, which I'm also not doing. But just like working out, like we have to take a half an hour a day to clear the surfaces. And it took me 9 hours yesterday.
Well, you did a deep cleaning. That's
deep
a very
purge,
different thing.
And I a had deep a deep clean. Yeah. And I had a cleaning person come over and God bless, he was here for 12 hours.
Yeah, had to be. So let me ask you this just about the diapers. So what had been happening before the diapers? Like it was...
She used to be able to hit a spot, like a pee pad spot, and now it's nowhere. You know, she can go, she just goes anywhere she is. you know, not her bed, which is usually the sign. That's usually the sign when it's a bed that it's not, it's time to be done, because they really don't want to be doing that. But I've been just cleaning it up like everywhere all the time now. And I didn't even realize it was an option. So, you know,
listen, we start off in diapers. It's where most of us will end up.
Yeah. You know, this is taking care of an elderly person. Elderly,
it's beautiful, Jessica. It's beautiful. And it's work. It is work. It is good old fashioned, you know, like waking up at 5 a.m. and taking care of the animals, and you know, yes, chop wood, carry water,
and now teaching a puppy respect for her elders. So there's a lot of timeouts happening, because then she will go bananas and like start to jump in her face and stuff. And the trainer said, you have to watch her like a hawk and just put her in, because Emma's so old, she won't do what a normal dog would do, which was say like, hey, enough, you know? So right. I have to be the one who's like, and I don't ever scold her, but I just separate her, you know, and teach.
Now, I will say, if you ever want to bring her over, I do think that Meatball is a good elder to be around, because he will give a correction, but it will not be, he will make sure that a younger dog understands its place in the pack.
That would be great, because the trainer said, you need to get your puppy with other puppies and other dogs who act like dogs, because otherwise she will end up thinking it's okay to act like that, because literally, and Emma, that's Emma's soul. She's never, ever been aggressive ever to anybody ever in her life. And so that's who she is now, but it's not good for the puppy. So, met a lovely parent during drop-off today who had a puppy, and she said, can we get them together? I didn't realize puppies needed to get together with each other.
Well, to play.
To play, because that's how they socialize.
You know.
Well, and God knows I don't want to play with the puppy.
No, to see Meatball. God, no. We don't play. Meaning, we couldn't be clearer about that.
I don't like
playing. We do not play.
We don't like it.
I don't like it either. I will tell you, when Meatball met my sister's puppy, first of all, it was really interesting how, because we had a trainer there for the interaction.
Yeah.
Like for the first meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had, because they met at our house, and Otto was outside. He's like, I don't want the puppy to come inside. Like, I want Meatball to go see him.
Yeah. And so he doesn't feel threatened.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he had puppy Otto, standing there, and he told me to take Meatball and have Meatball walk around the puppy, which was very interesting to smell him, but like basically giving Meatball the respect of an elder. Like, puppy, you sit here and wait while the elder explores. It was really fascinating. And then a few times, you know, especially over, and what my sister and I learned is like, food is, now Otto has really learned, but earlier on, you know, Meatball did have to give a few corrections here and there. And
that's normal.
Totally normal. But to see Otto completely understand it. And then, like, it's just, like, fascinating to watch. It's like, oh, they do absolutely understand the hierarchy of the herd.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So, anyway, I'm excited. I'm going to put a dinner on the books. Now, Kulap has been in Italy. She's in Rome right now, living her best life. Please follow her on Instagram for all the content. La Dolce Vita. But I'm excited for a summertime get together. Maybe it's a brunch. Maybe it's a Sunday brunch. I don't know. But I'm really gonna keep up. See how long I can keep this up.
I love that, Jess. And I do think, you know, we both have a history with like domestic trauma, in terms of like, I grew up in a messy house. That was an embarrassment for me. I never felt comfortable with that. I went into other people's houses that were neat and I longed for that. Mm-hmm. And you had just the opposite of like a house that was so put together. But I do think, so it's hard to know, like you said about BB differentiating, like what we're pushing against.
I know what I'm pushing. Yes.
But yeah. What we really do need is like, yeah, it's
but
just.
What do you want? It's like when you peel back all the trauma, the layers of all of it. It's like, how do you want to live? You know, and how do you want to feel when you're in your space? And you know what also inspired me was seeing the inside of Morgan's house, Morgan Walsh, mm-hmm. when we, because we did our shoot there. Mm-hmm. She really is the mother of the group. She is the mama energy, and she has a beautiful home.
She does. Where I see your intentional. Homes as very similar.
Yes, I loved like the way the she decorated. Yes,
seems like
although she's more Topanga, she looks like a beautiful Topanga.
Yes,
hideaway. Okay, and mine is more like. Coastal.
Yeah.
You know, I modeled my home after Mary Steenburgen had a store in Santa Monica called Rooms and Gardens. And I literally made it look like the showroom. I small talked my way into the girl who ran the store, and I would work for couches. We would always say, you know, when are you going to get a job? And then I buy that couch.
Right, I created,
it looks just like the inside of that store. There's not one in Santa Monica anymore. You have to go up to Santa Barbara, but whew.
I'm so excited for you. And systems are, I didn't know how to say this because I know we have an organizer coming on, but I had someone come over and organize my closet.
You did? Last week. Was it great?
Oh, Jessica.
Love to see a picture. Like, why don't you share that kind of shit with me? That's what I want to see.
You know what? I'll show it to you right now.
To post it. It's probably, it might be too personal, but.
No, it's not too personal for me. I just.
For you, I would expect like a mesh bag of dildos just like hanging on like a decorative hook.
And I said to her, I'm like, you know, I said to her, because she's done two other rooms in our house. And I said, okay, you're coming into the boudoir. Like, what is your comfort level? Do you want me to do a sweep right now? Like, what are you, the costumes, the this, the that, all of the sex stuff. And she's like, I've seen everything.
Oh my God.
And I said, do you have that to sign NDAs? Great. And she's like, yes. I can't say anything more about it, but wow. What I have seen, she's like, I am telling you, this is nothing.
This is some eyes wide shut shit.
Yeah. So people, I feel a lot better. She's like, there ain't nothing
wow.
that could surprise
God,
me.
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll just give you this. I don't know if you can see it, Jess,
Those baskets. Oh, God. That looks very like a Kardashian. I love it when Courtney and Khloe, it's really Khloe's closet. Have you seen when they hang out?
All of them.
Because they have closets so good they hang out in them. I don't know if that's their closets, actually, because now I found out none of their homes.
They're shooting in other homes now. I do think my one... The thing is, they've gotten to such a level that, no, they don't really have closets anymore. They have built their own homes and have, like, stores. So,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not as satisfying as it once was because
of course. It
used to be like, oh, we're going into Chloe's closet and we are seeing, oh, my God, those are my favorite scenes. All I wanted was closet content.
Yeah, well, you also know? Them sitting on, like, a poof. They always have a round poof like you yeah. would have in a wedding atelier,
yes.
a wedding dress atelier, and they always sit on them, you know, and like, and I know Khloe has a OCD. She calls it like whatever,
yeah.
close CD.
Well, you know, Kim started off as a closet organizer.
Oh, right to the stars.
She began her career as
so crazy.
Paris Hilton's closet organizer. So there's a long history. I mean, don't get me started on the way that all of the Kardashians organize. Because it is next
inspirational
level. It is inspirational. And I am waiting because I do feel like the level of product they're coming out with these days is just getting better and better, especially from Kim. And I know she's moving into skincare, okay, but I am waiting for them to take over
the organizational space, the container store.
Ooh, mamma mia, what they could do in that space.
What they could do. Really? I mean, Chloe blew my mind in that you're not supposed to decant your eggs into other containers.
Well, listen, and what she's doing, what she's doing with those little Oreos and how she's placed.
Those Oreos are bananas. She has her own snack closet for the cousins.
Yeah, I know.
I like that.
And I don't know if you remember when Tristan was playing for her baby daddy was playing, I think, in like Cincinnati or
and she was living there.
She was living there. Do you remember there was a closet full of candles?
Deep divers. Boy, boy, oh boy, do we have a treat for you today. I don't know if you guys remember, but when I was in London, I invited the company Life in General, which is an amazing organizational company who comes in, they organize your home for you. I welcome them into my home. I wasn't there.
Best way to have an organizer.
I wasn't there. Dan didn't know it was happening. I didn't, to be honest, want to be there because I was embarrassed by like how unorganized my space was. So that's when I do a lot of my best work is when I am in another country. So I had this company come in and the team was led by Jordan Santoro, who is with us today. I believe I referenced that he had the best teeth in the biz. He's gorgeous. I only ever saw him on FaceTime. And of course, as I do, we became very close. We did. I felt he's from New Jersey. The moment I heard that, I was like, okay, we're off to the races. Like, we get it. Jordan is so much younger than us, June, but we went to high school with Jordan. Okay.
Understood.
We were best friends with Jordan in seventh grade. Do you know what I mean? We went into the city with Jordan. We saw every musical with Jordan. He was in our prom limo. We are with Jordan. Okay. So Jordan is here. And really, this is a mini masterclass. The art of organization, colon, make it cute. Because that's his catchphrase.
Wow. Well,
I feel like
this is a sort of meeting again type situation to revisit.
That's right.
Cause it seems and it sounds like you're just already so in the fold, but I'm so happy to have you on.
Thank you. It's so nice to meet you too. You both are so amazing. I can't stop smiling. So
that's what he does.
I can't.
So Jordan, like, where do we begin? And I have to be honest, I also have a home organizer, and so I'm approaching this, Jessica, and I have competing home organizers, and that's hard. But you know,
it's not hard for me because I sit in my truth, knowing that there truly isn't anyone.
But here's what's so different: is like I didn't think to become. I have a very wonderful relationship with the woman who's really changed my life, but I didn't. I see just taking certain relationships to the next level, to different areas. And it had never occurred to me, like, invite her on the podcast. I mean, and now, so I may need to do another episode with her just so she doesn't feel like I chose Jordan over her, you know, but it just would never occur to me.
Well, of course, you have boundaries. I don't. Thank God. Because I wouldn't get these.
But Jordan, I must know, how did you get into this space? Yeah. Were you always organized or what?
Okay. Yeah, no. Well, also, I do love that you said boundaries because those are necessary. And also, I think I don't have this relationship with all of my clients, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's the Jersey thing and it was your mate. She's amazing. So I was just like, we're going beyond this. But
Understood. We're exploring.
It sounds
other,
like Jordan was
very
just
much
like,
so outside the home.
Yeah. I was supposed to have professional boundaries, but Jessica yes. broke them down. I get it. Yeah, I think I was like calling him baby doll, like over tech. I'd never met him.
Within
I was like,
seconds.
Baby doll, you feel me. You know yeah. what I mean? And then like he was like, right. Or I called you lover or something.
Like
lover.
Immediately.
And I still text him like, lover, where's my fish spatula? And he's just like, right drawer to the left. Like, I love that he knows where my stuff. Okay, Jordan, take us back.
Yes,
you grew up in South Jersey. Okay. You come from a big family, Italian family.
Oh, interesting. Gotta stay organized mm-hmm. when it's a big family.
Oh my gosh. It was chaos. I was one of five and I'm one of the younger two. And my mom always like craved order, but my dad was in some ways had hoarding tendencies. And, wow. you know, they would always fight, like, who moved my things? Like, where are my things? You moved them. You threw them out. And I just constantly saw this, like, debate happening. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize, obviously, until, you know, 10, 15 years later, you know, the art of this organization, of organizing and how I could have helped them then. But in my room, like, I craved this order. And I, like, I would shut my door and I would, like, organize my things.
And did you have your own room?
I had my own room, yeah.
That's yeah. wonderful, yeah.
Because some of the siblings were already out, right, of
yeah, yeah.
the house.
Yeah,
the,
at that point. Two older ones were gone, so, like, the rooms were switched, and then I had my own room. The one thing I didn't realize then, though, is about letting go. Like, I kept everything. It was just really organized. So it was kind of like my room was a little too full of things because right. I didn't understand like the idea of parting with things.
Because you had it hadn't been modeled to you. Instead, no. the opposite, which was hang on to the things. So now
exactly.
you realize because a lesson you've taught me is purging is so
purging.
Much to point. You forever purge.
Yes.
Forever. You purge. Must be forever purging, which yeah. I didn't realize before I met you, really.
Yeah. Well, if you look at even if you observe like how much comes into your house on a weekly basis, like even if it's two things, you know, you went shopping or the groceries and things just build up. And if you're not, constantly having the edit, then, you know, the purge, then it's just going to accumulate.
How often should we be purging?
I generally get into, I would say at least every 3 months, like
okay.
a real refresh. But yeah. for me, like it comes in waves because it's emotional for me. So, you know, if I'm out or if I'm in a certain space and it feels really clean and zen, I'm like, I have to go home and throw everything out. And I get inspired and I sell 30 items from my closet and I do like a once over of my whole house. And I'm like, what is this doing here? I haven't even seen this. So I'm kind of purging weekly.
He actually told me that he will do 10 hours of organizing somebody's house. He gets so revved up. I've never seen, it's like he's on cocaine. He's like, and he keeps just go, make it cute. And then he'll go, okay, we have an athletic moment. That's cute. This is a whole beachy moment. Okay. These are the things for the beach. He gets so excited. He then goes home and organizes his house because he gets so jacked up.
But when you're, you know, when your work is like, you're that passionate about it, it isn't work.
No, it's just the
truth of it. It's
100%.
Just like, yeah.
It's fueling.
Okay, question, Jordan. And I just, I do want to say that I have been told by my organizer that I am one of the best purgers she's ever worked with.
That's amazing.
So I know, again, I know I'm not an expert on this topic and I know this is a you've been brought in
again,
as an expert.
She always tries to take over these master classes, Jordan. Like, why are
expert.
We wasting time
to
expert. Hear about you being a good purger? That's not helpful to these people.
Because I just want to say that what she said about me, because there are times where I'm like, oh, like she wants me to go through things with her and now we move quickly. It's at a pace where it's
not
like
as
this.
Quick as
no.
Jordan.
Yes, no. Like it is. And
yes.
we are moving and throwing things into bags. And I don't hesitate.
That's amazing.
I go with whatever comes out of my mouth. And I want to tell the deep divers, and again, I know obviously you're an expert in this space, but I do want to tell the deep divers that I don't think you'll ever be in a position where you will regret getting rid of something.
You won't.
You won't ever regret it.
You won't even remember it.
Now, Jordan, though, I'm the opposite. I'm not a hanger-oner, but I don't trust myself. And as you know, we were talking earlier, like, I don't, that kind of sense of self, especially in the home space, is very new. I'm like a newborn fawn. So when Jordan and I were going through things, I would go, I think we should get rid of it. And then I look to him with like pleading eyes, like, what do you think? And Jordan would have to say, yes.
Yeah. Well, yes. Then there's a series of questions that follow too, because I have to get to know, are you using this? Like sometimes the rare occasion, I'm actually like, you shouldn't get rid of that because I know you. And people get like really amped up and they're like, I'm getting rid of everything. And they really do throw it all out. And I'm like, the rare occasion that I have to dial them back and be like, okay, this one thing you actually might need, but they were just getting so, usually I'm convincing them or gently urging them to, you know, to part with their things, you know, and ask, and they really don't need it. But there is sometimes the like, you know, you might use this and that's okay.
Now, right. Or this is special to you. Yeah.
Right. How do you approach, like, you're heading into a master bedroom, you're heading into someone's bedside table, you find a box of dildos.
I love that. That's the best.
And what's that conversation?
Well, there was no conversation. He just gathered them all, flung this way and that. Yeah. A lot of them don't have chargers. Okay. Oh, and he just put them all in a plastic bin.
They're never charged when you need them.
They just corral them. Yeah.
Honestly, everybody stop this podcast right now and go charge your dildo.
But you know what? Put a battery in it. Why the fuck do I need my shit to be remote? I don't need that. I want an old-fashioned AA situation that I know I don't know where any of the chargers are, Jordan.
Mine are not battery operated. They're just giant and rubber. So no need for plugs or anything. Yeah. I feel like you should just keep one everywhere. One in the end table, one in the guest room, you know, one in the, just
in the keep guest room for your guests?
Just in case. Just in case you need to escape to the guest room, to the master closet.
I see what you're saying. So they're for
you. You never know in the moment.
To the closet. He wants to charge you.
Oh, you're putting out like a bottle of water in a nice little can.
Well, that's not a bad idea either. Yeah.
It's not actually a terrible idea.
It's not terrible.
It'd have to be brand new. It'd have to be cracked.
It would have to be in a box. Like, I want to be unsealing
that. Yeah, with a bow. Yeah.
But question about chargers. And again, we're going to go
let's
in
get
and
into
out.
Chargers, Jessica. Let's get into chargers. Okay, they chargers, are the bane of my existence.
As they are for me. But do you, first of all, with the various accoutrements, sex toys, should we be keeping, now you, because my charger situation was, and the cord situation was such a nightmare, we just threw all the cords into a plastic bin and that's where they live. And I know if I need to find a cord, I can hope and pray that they're there. Would you suggest you keep your charger AVEC with dildo or with vibrator? Ooh, keep it wrapped together?
This is such a great question.
Absolutely. Like, I think, your charger situation was phase one because next we need to go through and match them up.
Yeah, right.
And get rid of half of them. But for dildo chargers, next to it in the end table, always. Or
next to it, wrapped
always.
Up. He never has a cord. He's always like bunching up the cord and wrapping it around. Like, you don't need to have loose cords.
Now, let me show you. Can I show you something, Jordan, right now?
Yeah. No, please.
That's not going to be great. But like, okay, so I'm in my office. I do have a clear desk, which I'm very proud of. But
amazing.
Not as clear as mine. She's always bragging.
Over here, I don't know. Can you see this?
I can see that.
So
is that a hole, three-hole punch? What is that?
We need
this
to.
This is a
bag.
It's like a snake's bag. It's like a snake. What a snake would come out of.
Yes. So deep like divers, a rattan bag. I just pulled a basket of wires and an old cell phone.
You can go to Best Buy, Jordan told me. Best Buy has a place where what is it called?
It's like e-waste, and they wipe all your things, and you put them in the little bin, and they wipe them for e-waste. But that didn't look bad, what you showed me, June. It didn't, but it could be better. It absolutely could be better.
What would you do with all the chargers? What would you do?
Do you need all of those chargers?
I don't even know what they are.
Exactly.
So match them up.
We need to pull them out, sort them, compartmentalize them. Each one needs its own home. The ones you use the most need to be like, you know, right there, front and center. Mm. And then, you know, sometimes it is like, there's no storage, or we need to like add another little cute bin and like stack them. So then this one's labeled under your desk. It's like chic, you know, it has to be aesthetically pleasing.
Make it cute.
Because you need things need to have a home. And when they, I find when things are like really thrown together, which is everyone's problem after like a month, it's like, why is my junk drawer? So everything's thrown in there. It needs to be pulled out and reset. And no matter how organized you are, those things, you know, life happens and we live busy lives. So like the reset and the maintenance like needs to happen at some point, because the perfection is amazing, of course, but it's not always going to stay absolutely perfect. It needs to be reset.
It needs to be reset.
And like the junk drawer is interesting to me too, because Jordan really blew my mind yesterday, because I was FaceTiming with him and I'm like, look at this drawer. Like, this is crazy. And it had been organized before I fucked it up. And he said, you know, I didn't have time because that wasn't on his list when he came to me the first time. He's like, but when you're talking about a junk drawer and you're talking about this is a place you're going to have batteries, you know, paper clips, a rant, you want to have tiny compartments.
The smallest. Yeah. Like,
you don't ever want to share. The stamps should not share a space with your batteries.
Can I say one thing about batteries? And again, I know I've not been brought on as an expert in this field, but
sure.
But you are. It's okay.
Well, don't, and I do have a I do have a husband who is very organized. He could work with you, Jordan. Like, he truly,
yeah, and he would be happy to do it.
So it's like by process of osmosis, there are certain things that are very organized because I live with him.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with you.
In terms of maintenance and sort of adopting a system, I do think that that's where I thrive. But
sure.
He has purchased a battery binder. It has a special spot in our closet, but it is a binder that has this, like, I don't know what this is. Like,
I'll have to take a picture of it for the
I will take a picture of it. But each little battery has its own home in here. And what I will say, Jordan, that I love about this thing is it's now actually satisfying to go get a battery.
Mm.
Because made the it physical cute. Sensation of pulling one of these AA's and AAA's
feels good.
It's a nice sensory experience that I'm taking this little guy from its home putting it in its new home.
Yeah, sliding it in and sliding it out.
Yeah. you know, it's a smooth transition.
Yeah.
And I just love it so much that each little guy has a place to be.
Yeah, wow. To live.
I'm going to cry. I'm feeling so emotional.
Well, Jordan's also like, how do I not know about a battery binder like that?
No, I do know about the battery binders.
Can you give me a controversial statement?
Can you tell me, though, how do you do batteries? Because...
Yeah, how do you do batteries?
Well...
We started with chargers, now we're going to batteries. These are the big questions for organizers.
Yes. No, I will say that is very nice, because each battery has a home.
Literally.
But that's incredible. I think that does give me like 90s CD carrier vibes, which is a vibe. But sometimes I need an acrylic...
He loves a clear,
moment, okay. Or a bamboo drawer where it's like a tiny drawer in your laundry room if you have, or one section of your junk drawer where it's right at hand next to your pens in their own compartment. You have just a few of each battery that you'll ever, you know, because how often do you really need a battery?
Well, how many vibrators do you have?
You're right. So often.
It's a different house over there, Jordan, than the one you organized over here.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying. So, and by the way, I want you to know that where I got that binder from, and you're absolutely right, it is giving 90s CD vibe, like CD container vibes. But where I got that binder from, there are so many beautiful acrylic containers in that closet. Mm-hmm. And this guy does have sort of an interesting home in there, you know, and those acrylic containers have labels on them, like lighters.
Paul, that's Paul. Honey, you can't find that label maker if you tried.
Yeah, so I do think, I do agree with you, Jordan. I will say the idea of a battery rattling around, even a nice acrylic drawer, is
bothers you?
Bothers me a little bit.
And, and for me, I'm okay with all the batteries being just together. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know necessarily. I just like to make sure if they're even there together and living mm-hmm. together, I don't care where they live.
No, and it absolutely, right now. It has to work for you. And that's where reading the room and getting to know the client is yes. crucial because, you know, I might make it super cute and perfect. And it's just like, it's like the client wants you to redo it because it works better in a different way for them. So,
and it's about pulling it out of its home.
Okay. I need to move on from this battery.
I'm ordering the battery backpack. Organizer. Okay. Where is that from? What is that? QVC?
It's definitely from Amazon.com.
I love it.
Jordan. Okay. So tell me though, I want to take you back to when your dad died. Mm-hmm. Quite suddenly, and you went home and you redid your entire mother's house.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Wow. If you don't mind, is that too personal?
No, not at all. That's
okay. Cause that's I love never this moment. Personal.
So I was a few years into like my organizing journey in LA, and you know, I've developed this like set of skills and like knowledge on the organizing journey. But every time I would go home, you know, it was like so much for me. I didn't have like my team with me. I didn't have, you know, my mom and dad weren't ready to let go of things. And I would try to do like drawer by drawer, but it was like too stressful much. And I was there to spend time with them. Yeah. And eventually my dad, when he got sick and he passed, I stayed home for a few months and I was like, wow, I'm going to be here for like 6 months. Like, and I had all this emotional energy and I needed to channel it into something.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a healthy way, it was let's sort the space. And I think it's something that a lot of people will have to do when their parents pass or before to prepare, but it's never easy. It's always emotional. And for me, it was something that I needed to get through those few months was taking the time to go through the garage and purge and let go. Cause it was like almost like letting go of all of these things that he held on to that I know were not special to him. It was just like his like anxious tendencies that were like leading him to keeping these things that I was like, I almost felt like I was letting go of them for him and like releasing him from it. And then also, and you know, in turn helping me letting go and, you know, moving on and creating a new space that felt lighter, you know, and not
that's so beautiful. Heavy. Well, and I will share, Jordan, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. I listened to that story because I did go through my parents' home after they both passed away and I sold their house. Mm-hmm. And I did do as much as I could, but both of my parents really struggled in this space of organizing and purging. And there was only so much I could do. And ultimately, you know, 1-800 junk arrived and cleared out the rest mm-hmm. of the house. And I didn't do that full process. And so a part of me feels badly about that. But then also mm-hmm. a part of me is like, it was a wonderful, we talked about this on another episode. It was a wonderful reminder that stuff is just stuff. And at the end of the day, if 1-800 junk comes to remove it, that's not what like the memories are, you know?
No, and they're, you know.
So it's just like, it is just stuff that doesn't go with us. It just doesn't. No. And so it's like the more clearing out we can do, I really do think like the more space we have for other experiences.
Absolutely.
And, you know, enjoying our space.
100%. More room for living, you know, being at peace in your space, inviting people into your space, more room for love, less time spent cleaning and decluttering. It's like when you do it in such a large scale and, or, you know, a full home reset, or you bring in an organizer, or you do it with your friend and, you know, you make it fun and you make your space really enjoyable to be in, or you're doing it for your mom or your parents. It's like, it is really changing lives. And it is, you know, I know my mom really looks around and feels lighter and has more energy and like opens a drawer and is happy and thinking of me and feeling like,
oh my gosh, you're so right too, Jordan, that when people don't feel good about their home, and before you got on, Jessica and I talked about having a home you can be proud of, we don't invite our community in, we hide it, We don't invite people into our space. And that means, yes, our space is in like where we live, but also just our orbit and become more kind of connected to others. I have to jump off, but Jess, I want to say one thing to you. And Jordan, I have a feeling you will probably co-sign on this. So Jessica is going to invite some of our girlfriends over for to be in her space this summer. Mm-hmm. But what I want to say to Jess as her friend, because I made a commitment to tell the truth to her 2 weeks ago.
Oh, God.
And I am going to tell you the truth.
Okay.
And the truth about you, Jess, is that you don't need cool up.
No.
You don't need anyone. We are already so proud of you. You don't need Jordan.
I do need him, and I already
have him. You don't need Jordan. We are already so proud of you. And we're so proud of the woman that you are. And we want to be in your home and with you. And you don't need to do a goddamn thing or have anyone help you.
June, that makes me feel...
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Why am I crying? June, that means so much to me.
And it's true.
I think this is just a neat new chapter of just really enjoying myself and being proud of myself and saying like, okay, it's not better over there. I don't have to have a home with a backyard to like have my friends enjoy themselves at the beach.
Yes. We just want to be with you, and you are already, your energy is already so inviting to us. You don't need dog trainer Jordan cool up to do anything to get you there. You're already someone we want to be with and whose space we want to be in.
I love that. I do need Jordan though. So please don't
No.
I do.
I'm not going anywhere. You are beautiful and your house is beautiful and the energy is right. Your friends love you.
Well, Jordan, you just, well, you made me feel amazing too, because I remember you saying, gosh, I just love your house. I love how every corner is a little moment, you know? And that really made me feel like, wait, why am I hiding this? Why from people? Why am I not proud of it? I really think like I just felt like I'll invite people in when it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's like when I'm dead. Like, I mean, you know, you could wait forever.
Yeah.
But I think that when it isn't your talent or passion, and when, like you had said to me, I think one of the things that I just naturally do is I look at space. I can be spatial about, oh, that suitcase could fit great there. Spatially, I don't have that. I mean, I have many other great talents, but that's not one of them. So I do feel like you are such a good investment for me because I can get a lifetime done of work, something that would take me months and months and probably never get done because I simply don't have that skill. I can get that done with you in 8 hours.
Yes. Yes.
So I want people to know, like, this is a good investment of money. You don't have to do it yourself if it's not, if it's too hard.
No, and I think there's always the balance of, like, I remember my mom being like, you know, you can't have people over. It's a mess in here. And I'd be like, Mom, this is for living. Like, people are supposed to come over and enjoy your space. But I also get that you want to feel good when you invite people over. So it's a balance of being like, they love me for who I am, not like it doesn't matter. And then also but I also want to feel proud for me and, you know, kind of have a space that they can come and admire. And whether that's the design or just the organization, it all goes hand in hand.
It really does. And I ask you a lot of questions about how you live. Like I'm like, you're an alien to me, but I'm like, what do you do? Like, what is your nighttime routine? What's your daily? Because I think, yes, an organizer can come and make your house look beautiful, but how do you keep it up?
I think I've had a lot of time management practice throughout, you know, having to gauge like how many hours it takes to organize a kitchen or a pantry or a whole home and how many people. And then I take that and put that into my space because if I'm, you know, getting ready to leave and I have an extra 10 minutes, I know that there are those like two little tasks, you know, whether it's like fill the ice trays or like fold those four items of clothing that like I've trained myself in a way that I have to do. Sure, I could sit on the couch and relax for 5 minutes and I do that. Yeah. But I take some of that time to go through those tasks that I know have to, that will only take me 2.5 minutes, but may seem more daunting.
Do you feel like people put things off because they think it will take? Because I remember saying, "Oh my God, Jordan, I cannot do this garage. Like, I don't have the day." And you were like, "You can do this in 2 to 3 hours. I promise you."
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you went through the plan, which was okay. I want you to pull. Like, what was number? Take me through. Like, you've got a space.
Yeah.
Let's say like a garage, and you're overwhelmed by it. What are we doing first, second, and third?
So. The process in general can really be overwhelming. You know, if you're doing it alone without an organizer or just alone at all, like sometimes it is nice to have a friend come and do it too. But
yeah.
I've done hundreds of garages. So we have this process. So everything, whether it's the junk drawer or the kitchen cabinet or the garage, you pull it all out and you give it a reset. So at that point, usually, you know, you're doing a little dusting, cleaning, sweeping out, and like the space feels just like
so first
clean and refreshed.
When
fresh.
You take it all,
it
out,
all
so,
out,
for me, I had to pull out. I have this like a floor to ceiling, like very, very ramshackle, like bookshelf thing that I had put a bunch of just random shit on there. So I pulled it all out. And then you said, okay, now get out your broom and just do a sweep. So you're going to make the space clean before you put everything back in.
Yeah. Or before you even decide to go through the things, you want the space to feel like fresh again. So everything, it needs to be like, neat throughout. So, or I like it to be neat throughout so that you're not looking around getting overwhelmed. So it's pulled out, it's sorted, and then it's cleaned a little bit. And then you start to go through things one by one and you put them into piles. And then, you know, you look at each item or with me or with someone and decide if you need it or if you want to donate it or if you want to sell it or if you want to keep it. And then you put it aside into piles and then you're left with ideally a keep, a donate, a sell.
Right.
And then you
put them into categories like it. And so after you decide like through every item, okay, I'm keeping all this stuff. Then you sort like, and here are all the suitcases go over here. All the sports stuff go over here. Then you put them in their piles.
Then you put them in, but that's where you look at how many suitcases or how many basketballs or how many sporting things, like what needs the biggest zone. And then this is actually where the fun comes in because you're puzzle piecing it together and you're doing and then redoing. And then, you know, you're seeing it, oh, it fits nicely. Because visually you can, you know, compare the suitcase to the cabinet and whatnot to place it in. But there, you know, there sometimes needs to be an additional structure, like a bin or a divider or a drawer divider, you know. So those do create systems for long-term success where it's not just all thrown into the drawer or onto the cabinet. And it should have zones and it should be as structured as possible.
And you love a big plastic bin. So like you had, you know, I had a bunch of them, but you would suggest just to start, let's say if you're doing a garage, go and get, you know, 15 of these big plastic bins you can get at any, you know, Costco container store.
Well, I would say I try to be as sustainable as possible.
Yeah.
So like if it's not single use plastic, I guess it's better. It's okay.
But,
you know, cause they have wood crates or anything and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it depends if you're storing memories, you know, they have weather tight, you know, so it's like, you know, it'll stay sealed against the weather, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then other ones that you need to just be able to reach in. So any sort of like bin that splits the shelf up into two spaces, you know, cause then you can have two categories on that shelf is going to be great for long-term.
But we are not mixing categories. That's the biggest thing. Do not mix your categories. Don't put your garden hoses in with your softball cleats because you think they're going to stay separate, but they will not.
Yeah. Two bins or four bins or six bins. And the bins come in all sizes, literally.
So you measure your space and figure out if you can't, you know, what are the heights and then have those bins there. Because I think the biggest thing too is I blocked off a whole day because I know if I start halfway and this is like every parent knows that you get halfway through a project and then somebody interrupts you and then that shit lays on the floor for the rest of your life.
Yes. The time that's blocked off is very important. And I think that's why it's good to start small with like, say you're under the sink area or you're junk drawer, because those take like, you know, you can block off an hour and you'll have more than enough time to pull out, sort, and then, you know, go in with some organizational products. But, you know, maybe you could reach out to me or now that you know, but there's you know, you can order those things ahead of time. So you're set for the project, you know, whether it's the Container Store or Amazon, you have like your 7 dividers and these are going to go in this drawer and then you have them there ready. And then you're ready for your project and it's your kids are in school.
You have 1 hour. Your containers ready to rock.
Containers ready.
I'm going to get your list. We're going to post some of your favorite little like Amazon finds that you love for your containers. Cause that's also like you had put in some containers that weren't quite working for the different snacks, the various carbs that I have to have on hand at all times. And you were like, oh, there's these glass ones you can get. And you sent them to me. And of course, like at the Container Store, they'd be like $1 billion. But from Amazon, they were literally a quarter of the price.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazon has great stuff.
And I know we've all seen this on every Instagram, but I love clear containers for your food because you know when you're running out. Why do I have 25 cans of tuna? I just keep buying tuna. I can't stop buying tuna. If they all live in the same plastic bin, then or whatever, or glass, whatever you want, then I know, oh, wait a second, I have 25 cans of tuna. Let's slow down on that purchase. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so once you love a clear. You got to get clear. You got to
be clear. Yeah. If you're not in the habit of like checking your back stock, then everything should be clear. Because then you'll have like, you'll know exactly what you have. You won't buy duplicates. The snacks I love in the jars. Well, one, it's pretty. Glass is great.
It's cute. It's making it cute.
And then, you know, it's refilled. It's a moment. It's one of those things where you open the cabinet and you're like, whoa, like she has her snacks in glass jars. Like they are cute, you know?
They're cute and she's got her shit together. And whenever I see those glass jars of snacks, I think to myself, I got it together. I can handle life. I really do. Like it literally, because you made an oatmeal bar for me because I make the same oatmeal every fucking day and I had that all in the packaging it comes in. God, there is such a rush about decanting your shit.
You love it. You love decanting.
I love decanting.
Yeah.
But like now, because I have it all in these glass little jars, which we'll post, I pull them down and then they're so easy to put back up. And then I go, oh, my walnuts are running low.
Yes.
And then I know. And then I go, oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to be able to decant.
Yep.
You know, to get
into decanting. There's a satisfaction with just like pouring it, like taking it out of the bag into a jar. It's structured. It's definitely cute. And then the bag is just like, you know, the bags just get like piled up and like thrown into the cabinet.
Yeah. And then like, Lennon's whole thing that she really used to get so angry with me about is I like to open a bag of nuts and then leave it open. And so she was constantly being assaulted by nuts in our writer's room. She would go to open the snack cabinet and they would pour out on her. And then I did it in her house. I won't zip it back up again. And so, but here's the deal. So if you are a chronic unzipper, put them in the glass things, you will not have that problem. So anyway. Okay. And then the one other thing that I was noticing is that, so I had a linen closet where all of the mismatched sheets were just shoved in and you would think they were stacked, but they weren't. But you're always about putting things in drawers.
I do love a drawer. I think if it's going to go on a shelf, like to keep linens perfectly folded is like hard. So they either need, each set needs its own bin on a shelf, which is amazing. And then you can label it, you know, queen set, or like daughter's bedroom or master bed, queen bed. And then the drawers, I just think, you know, you pull it out, you can really see everything if you're file folding it in neatly.
It's so the file fold. The file fold is standing up, and that's a Marie Kondo. Is that where you got it from?
That's Marie Kondo.
Were you always doing that?
No, I mean, I didn't do that till I started working as an organizer and, you know, discovered Marie Kondo, of course, but I do it now and it's nice. It's, you see really everything in your drawer. Nothing gets like forgotten or piled.
And you don't pull one out and the whole thing falls apart. You know,
no,
that's
exactly.
something you don't want
It's like
do.
Literally like a file cabinet of sheets.
Oh, God.
And again, there's some that go, like they get lost and you're like pulling it out and you're like, these, I don't need these.
No, it's you time. Don't. I it's did a reset. Real sheet. I did a sheet edit and it felt so good. These things, and I've said this before on the podcast, I read one of the many, you know, self-help podcasts I listen to on a constant basis. They said your house, it's like if you have things plugged in that you're not using and they're draining your energy. My linen closet, even though I only go into it once every week to change my sheets, just knowing that it looked insane and that I didn't know where it drained my battery. And that's why I'm feeling so jacked today, because every little dark nook of my house is now not draining my battery. Yes. Do you feel that when you do this for people, they report to you that they get more focus, more clarity, more energy?
Like, 100%.
What kind of things do you hear from people in terms of how their lives get transformed?
Yeah, no, 10 out of 10, it's positive. And it's a lot of the times you hear that they bought their time back because now they don't take 10 minutes to find their sheet set. Now, when they change the bed, that takes 30 seconds or 1 minute to grab that set. And over time, that adds up. And you literally have more time to live your life and love the people that you love, because you're not taking 45 minutes to get ready because you can't find something that you need, something for your daughter to get ready for school. Everything is streamlined. It's only what you need, and everything has a home, and they have their time back. And it really does, as Marie Kondo says, it really does spark joy, because when something is pretty and something is cute and you open the drawer and you're like, whoa, like this, I'm just grabbing a pen here, but like, watch out, drawer. Like I didn't expect to get like so turned on by this drawer. Like, this is happening. And then you're really just, you go about your day in a different way.
Watch out, drawer. Yeah. And this is the last, I'm going to let you go, Jordan, because I know you have so many things to do. He's also a phenomenal writer and an actor. But what I wanted to ask is your make it cute. Like, just give me a little bit about why that's important. Why making it, it's not just about organizing, it's about making it cute. Why?
I think, so it definitely goes back to the sparking joy and the opening a cabinet and feeling happiness. But I really like make it cute because it's not make it perfect. It's not like it has to be like this iconic, you know, celebrity pantry, which it can be, it definitely can be, but it has to work for the client and it has to work for you and it has to be functional. And it doesn't have to be perfect, but it should be cute and it should feel better than it felt beforehand.
Right.
And I think that is where I get make it cute, because it's like, oh, let's just zhuzh this up. Let's make it cute. It didn't take 7 hours. It feels so much better and lighter. Sure, it's not like 100% to a T, but it's so cute and we love it. And I think that's where
does it inspire? It also inspires me to keep it up. If it's cute, I want to keep it cute. If it's not cute and it sparks no joy, then why am I doing it?
Yeah, then you just want to avoid it. You don't want to go into there. You don't want to look at it. You don't want to do the work. You know,
make it cute. Oh my God, you are cute, Jordan. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing.
Of course.
Where can we find you on Instagram? Because, you know, I'm going to encourage all the deep divers to DM you, because even if like you're, I mean, I think this work can be done remote as well. Like, you know,
tips and tricks.
So anyway, where can we find you? Obviously, life in general, if you're in the area, you can come out and get Jordan face to face. But where can we find you on Instagram?
So on Instagram, I'm Jordan Santoro, and I would be happy to talk to anyone. So if any DMs or anything anyone wants to talk
also,
about.
P.S. His boyfriend works for Delta, and this bitch travels for free and he goes everywhere. So if you want to see a man living his best life in between his acting and writing gigs and organizing, please follow him on Instagram, because it's really aspirational. All right, Jordan,
Thank you so much. Love you. You're amazing.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review. And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more. We'll see you next time.